Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
Good morning. How are you guys this morning? Welcome to the house of the Lord. So glad that you're here. This right here, if you came in, if our ushers were working on you, you got a little card like this. And this is how we register attendance. But more importantly, this is how we pray for you. So if you put your name on the front, there's somebody during the time they're going to pray for you by name. But if you share your needs, they're going to pray for you by need. So please fill these out. If you're a newcomer, we got some folks that show up at your house with cookies or cupcakes. So fill this out. This is the best deal in town, this little card. Okay. I am so excited. Look at all these backpacks. This morning, we're going to be praying. You go, man. Now, look. Let me just say, I just want to call special attention to the dad of the morning. Two dads of the morning. First, your dad of the morning, because you actually fixed your daughter's beautiful hair this morning. Thank you. All right. I told him, I said, I knew how to do that. Janie, there was one thing I could do. I think pull Haley's hair and put a bow in it. I think I could do that. Maybe. The second dad of the morning, you know, some kids got here this morning and didn't have their backpack, and so their dad went all the way home and got it. Chris said, where'd you go, baby? Anyway, glad that all of y'all are here, and we're going to just pray for each other. Beverly Campisi, okay, Beverly, after services, and I'll maybe remind us again, but she's going to be in the back. There were 31 teachers that signed up from Majin for us to pray for them. I mean, they came to a luncheon. They don't know us from Adam. And they signed up for us to be their prayer partners. And so we need prayer partners. And then we haven't even begun to pray for our preschool and PDO teachers. And so we're just going to, if you would like to be a prayer partner for teachers this year, please sign up back there. All right. I want to say, spend a minute or two talking about our new sermon series. It's called Never Changing God, or Same God. And y'all remember, this is scriptures coming up here. Who's up there running? Let me see. Oh, okay, all right. The man, he's got a little experience up there. Oh, dude, did I not put the scriptures in there? Jet. Man, come on, Jet. It's all on you. No. Okay, so here's the scripture. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's Hebrews 13:8. Malachi 3:6 says this, for I, the Lord, do not change. I do not change. Therefore, O children of Jacob, you will not be consumed. So I just want to say to you, we have a God who is faithful and constant, and He will be there for us no matter what's going on in our lives. Our God is never changing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can count on Him. And we can count on His never-changing faithfulness no matter what our need or circumstances. Our world, our lives, our families may be dealing with all kinds of challenges and struggles. But He is our foundation. He is our rock, and we can count on Him. So that's our sermon series for the next several weeks, and it's going to be all about how God has acted in human history. This morning, we're going all the way back to the very beginning of human history. But as we see how God has acted in human history, we're just going to say, God, we're going to ask Him, God, You come and be who You are. You come and do what You do. What You did long ago, come and do it again here in us in these days in which we so desperately need You. All right, I want to pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank You and praise You for every person here. God, they are precious, beautiful in Your sight. Lord Jesus, I pray for especially the educators, especially the children. Lord, something new's happening. And I pray that You're in that new. And I pray that You're in us in these most important of days. God, thank You for letting us come to be with You today. And so, Lord Jesus, come. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You come and be who You desire to be in us, with us, for us, and through us this very morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's do our mission statement together. St. Luke's is a Christ-centered family of grace where all persons are welcome and wanted. We're committed to reach, grow, and send forth fully devoted followers of Jesus. All right, thank you. Dalee, thank you for preaching for me last week. I heard it was awesome. Y'all, kids, stay here. Any other kids that have backpacks, y'all come on down. And then we want to ask all the educators, any of y'all that are working in education this year, we want you to come down. Yeah. Okay. Now, I see the old ladies coming down here. Yeah, come on. Okay. I'm talking about these old ladies here, not you young teachers over there. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Now, I just want, just so I can see this, I want to ask y'all, how many of y'all, yeah, y'all can come up. Dude. That's cute right there. Yeah. Okay. I want to just ask y'all that are still in the congregation, how many of y'all have been or retired educators? Stand up. All right. We did this in the early service. I bet we had 60, 70 people out here. Y'all up here on the stage, these guys out here, they know what y'all are doing for God and for the Lord. They know the difference that you're making. Okay, hey, if y'all listen to me like for 30 seconds, on the while ago when Royce was, where are you, Royce? Royce, when Royce was going off the stage, he and his dad had come up here and put his backpack. He fell down. He had were those animal crackers? What were those? Ooh, I almost went. And so, man, he went down. The animal crackers went. But his dad was right there to pick him up and help him get that animal cracker. Y'all, no matter what you go through this year, God is right there. Father God is right there to hold your hand, pick you up. He will never leave you, forsake you. He loves you. All right, amen. Lord God, this morning, I just pray for us because, Lord, there's a lot of things maybe about our lives this morning that don't feel so well. But Lord, if you're in us, our souls are well. Lord, we pray that as we study your word today, God, that you will speak to us. God, that we will hear you, not me, that we will hear you as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all, our scripture this morning is from Genesis chapter 1. Please remain standing. Please hear and receive the word of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Lord, make your word real to us. Apply it to us. Make it alive in us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Y'all be seated. So this morning, we're talking about our never-changing God. So this morning, from this creation account that we have in Genesis, four essential truths about our never-changing Creator God. Truth number one, our never-changing God has the power, the power to create. We had grandparents camp at our house the last Thursday through Saturday, and so we had a fun time. We went to the movies. We went to Costco. Woohoo! The kids love that one. We went swimming every day. We went to the farmer's market, and basically we just hung out with each other for 2 days, and it was so great. And yesterday morning we made our own family recipe, our pancake recipe. So Jenny, if I mess up, please tell me. But it's like, it's an egg, you got to beat it up, you know, and then it's a cup of flour, and it's a half teaspoon of soda, and a teaspoon of baking powder, and a tablespoon of sugar, and two big tablespoons of cooking oil, and then it's a cup and just a little bit more of buttermilk, all right? Beat it up, got the griddle hot, right? And then we make our homemade syrup. Homemade syrup is 2 cup sugar, 1 cup water, and 1 teaspoon of maple flavoring. So they love it, we love it, we have a good time. But y'all, listen, in case you haven't already figured it out, I don't make pancakes. I don't make pancakes by going, no, you see them, and poof, Oh, excuse me, now you don't see them, and boom, now you do. That's not the way it goes, you know. It's not like, abracadabra, here they are, you know. Or voila, here they are. That's not the way it works. We just put all this stuff we already have together. We mix it up, and then we cook them on the griddle. That's how it works. But y'all, here in Genesis chapter 1, it tells us that that is not how God created. Genesis 1, look at the very first couple of verses again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Theologians say that God created the cosmos ex nihilo. That's a great word. All it means is out of nothing. That is how God created all that there is. God created the universe. God created us out of nothing. At Camp Apologia, some of you were at music camp this year, and a part of that, Andy and the singers and the actors, they introduced to us what philosophers call the cosmological argument for the existence of God. So this morning, we don't just believe that God exists. We don't just believe He's the cause and the very beginning. We believe that that very God is here. Not just there in the beginning. He's here in this room right now. Right now, you may feel as if you're sitting still, but the truth is that this sitting still feeling is an illusion of miraculous proportions. Planet Earth is spinning around its axis at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour. That means we're going 24,000 miles every day. Also, because we're on planet Earth, we're hurtling through space at an average velocity of 67,000 miles per hour as we are orbiting the sun, right? That's not just faster than a speeding bullet. It's 87 times faster than the speed of sound. So even though today when you may feel like you didn't get much done, well, just be thankful that, please remember that you did travel 1,599,793 miles. Woohoo! Right? In case that's not enough, our Milky Way galaxy is spinning like a galactic pinwheel at the dizzying rate of 483,000 miles per hour. And our marvelous, majestic, all-powerful Creator does all of that while we are seemingly sitting still. Our marvelous, never-changing God has done all of this so that we can live in love and be in relationship with Him and with each other. The main thing I want you to ponder this morning is that if you accept and believe that our never-changing God created this world, that our never-changing God created this solar system, that our never-changing God created this universe, that our never-changing God created you, if you believe that God created all that there is out of nothing else, then you need to believe and you need to know that God can recreate you into His image day by day. You need to believe that God can recreate your broken marriage, that God can recreate your wounded heart, that God can recreate your family system that's been blown into a zillion pieces in a zillion different directions. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, any woman is in Christ, he or she is a new creation, new. The old is gone and the new is come. If God is powerful enough to create all that there is out of nothing, He's powerful enough to recreate you in ways that need to happen even this very beginning of this school year. Second truth from God's word this morning is that our never-changing God has utilized a very specific means, a very specific agency, a very specific methodology of creation. God created through His word. Genesis 1:3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:6, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water, and it was so. Genesis 1:9, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, let dry ground appear, and it was so. Genesis 1:11, and let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so. Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky, signs signs that mark sacred times and days and years. Genesis 1:20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. Verse 24, and God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. Genesis 1:26-27, the best of his creation. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all creatures that move along the ground. You hear our responsibility, don't you? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Y'all, this word of God, the voice of God, the word of God is powerful. It's purposeful. And it's meant to impact not just creation in the very beginning, but you and me in the here and now. But how much time do we allow? How much availability do we give to the promise, the teaching of his word? Listen to Isaiah 55. The prophet says this, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. We've had a little of that this week. Woohoo, right? As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word. My word that goes out from my mouth, not just in creation, but today, right? So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish the purpose. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it is sent. Over in the New Testament, Hebrews says this, for the word of God is living and active. It's not just black and white on a printed page. It's alive. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is naked and laid bare. This is the imagery of the sacrifice laid on the altar. You know, the neck pulled back, naked and laid bare. That's how we're to come to God's word. Not us telling it what it says, but us being vulnerable, open, receptive to what God wants to say to us. Naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Y'all, we have this opportunity to actually be spoken to by the very God of the universe. The same God that said, let there be light, says, let there be forgiveness. The same God that, you know, called forth the creatures from the sea, that same God is calling forth you to be created new in your life day by day. I love the story that Christian author Mark Roberts tells about when his family visited Sequoia National Park in California. The highlight of this trip was seeing the giant Sequoia redwoods. Have any of y'all been there? Hands? Yeah, okay. It's just, I mean, we have so much to compare it to here in West Texas, you know. Anyway, the highlight of his trip was seeing the giant Sequoia redwoods, and these trees are awe-inspiring both for their beauty and their size. The largest redwood in the national park is the General Sherman tree, which towers above the forest at 275 feet high. Y'all, that's like taking a football field and turning it vertical, all right, that tall. It's 25 feet in diameter, and its estimated age is over 2,500 years. It was 500 years old when Jesus was on planet Earth. Robert said that as his family ambled along the giant redwoods, drinking in their exceptional elegance, he noticed a teenage boy walking along with his family. The boy's eyes were transfixed, right? But they weren't transfixed on the trees, but rather by his Game Boy. Robert said that today it would probably have been an iPhone or an iPad or something like that. The boy was engaged in some sort of video game that demanded his full attention. Robert said that as he was both fascinated and distressed by this young teenager's apparent unawareness of the extraordinary beauty that was all around him. So he says, I continued to look his way every now and then throughout our tour of the big trees. And sure enough, as far as I could tell, he never once lifted his eyes upon some of the most beautiful and astounding of God's creations. Mark says, as I think about this boy today, I feel sad. My sadness is not just for him, though, because I feel sad for so many others of us who are just like him. He says, I would confess there are times when I'm one of those people. I can get so wrapped up in whatever's demanding my attention that I neglect the beauty of God's creation, that I ignore and thus miss the power and the purpose of his word and his voice speaking in my life. You see, sometimes, right? Sometimes all of us get so caught up in our work or blinded by our worry or consumed by the chaos of our circumstances, or we get totally distracted by the glitz and glamour of the world. And yes, sometimes, maybe often, what keeps us from delighting in the beauty of God's creation and the beauty and power of his word is that ever-present device that we hold, we never stop holding in our hands. Y'all, this morning, right now, the same God who spoke creation into existence, that same God is waiting to speak his truth and his purpose into you. The question this morning is not, is God still speaking? The question this morning is, are we still listening? How much time do you let the God of the universe speak to you? How much availability do you give to the one who has the power to call everything into existence that never was? If we want God to do that kind of thing in us now, we have to hear his voice. Open our ears and our hearts for him to speak anew and afresh every single day to us. Third essential truth about our never-changing God is his goodness. As we see his goodness that we see in creation tells us that creation, not just that creation itself is good, but that he is good. When Janie and I were in seminary, we worked with a mission in downtown inner city of Lexington and Kentucky. And so it was a cool place. It was in the heart of a really needy place in that community. And in this little church, there were all kinds of people that came. There were some seminary educated people and just some people from the area of Lexington. But mostly it was folks from the neighborhood. And they were the poorest of the poor. I mean, it was the poorest of the poor black kids and poorest of the poor white kids and the white trash, that's what they called them. That's what they called themselves. And so here we are, every Sunday coming together, all these different backgrounds and folks came from shacks and shanties and folks came from rundown projects and folks came from, just trailers that were falling apart. And I always remember when Larry would do the children's message, right? The children's sermon, all the kids would come. I mean, they would come because they got a treat. And so they were coming. They were coming to church all on their own. Their families weren't bringing them. They were coming because they were getting something of nutrition. And they were coming to get a treat, and they didn't even know what a treat was. But it was sure better than what they had at home. And so they would come, and Larry would get all these kids around him. And I always remember the Sunday, he sat down. He said, I want to tell you the creation story. The kids, okay, Brother Larry. And he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God said, that's good. All right, y'all going to have to help me with that later. On the second day, God said, let there be the sky, the expanse between the waters to separate water from water. And God said, the kids got it. That's good, right? On the third day, God said, let the land produce vegetation and fruit-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it. And God said, that's good. Okay, yeah, the kids were getting it like y'all getting it. Day four, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate day from night. Let there be moon and stars to mark seasons and days and years. And God said, that's good, right? On the fifth day, God created all the living creatures and the birds and the snakes and everything above the ground and on the ground. And God said, that's good. On the sixth day, Larry said, God got to the apex of his creation. On the sixth day, God made humanity. On the sixth day, God created you in his image. And God said, okay, but some of y'all already know it. It's not just good, is it? It's very good. That's not what happened at Nathaniel Mission. Larry said, on the sixth day, God got to the best part of his creation. God got to the apex of his creation. God made you. And God said, and the kids went, shoo, nothing, crickets. So I said, maybe I said something wrong. He said, kids, now wait a minute, are you listening? On the sixth day of creation, God made the very best of creation. God made you. And God said, and one little five-year-old black boy said, he said, that's bad. Because those kids had already learned, no matter what the color of their skin, they'd already learned that where they came from wasn't good, and thus they weren't good. They'd already heard, maybe from educators, or maybe from their parents, that they were not of value to anybody or anyone. So Larry, man, he just sat down. He put his Bible up, and he got the kids, and he began to hug them. He said, kids, listen to me. I don't want you to listen to what the world says. I don't want to listen to even maybe what your family has said or maybe what some teacher said. I want you to hear me. On the sixth day of creation, God made you in his image. And he didn't just say that you were good. He said that you were very good. Y'all, that's the goodness of creation. And the goodness of creation reflects back on the very identity of our Creator. If he made us in his image, fearfully and wonderfully in his image, and we're good, we're very good, what does that say about him? And by the way, goodness is not just what Jesus did, not just what he does. Goodness is who he is. Romans 8:28. And we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. God's still a good God doing good things. And I know sometimes we try to kind of manufacture our own goodness. We try to, make goodness. We kind of try to make it happen for ourselves in our own way, in our own lives. But I want to just encourage you this morning, don't force it. I want to encourage you to surrender. Well, Janie and I were flying back from Washington, D.C. on Tuesday. And so we're flying from Washington down to Dallas. And all of a sudden, we just kind of slow down, it seems like, up in the air. We're just in some kind of holding pattern. And what happened, there were all these big storms in Dallas. And so they basically had shut Love Field down. They didn't tell us that initially. Eventually, they did. And so basically, the pilot comes on the intercom or whatever and microphone. He says, okay, we're going to have to, we're running out of fuel. So we're going to have to divert to Oklahoma City. So we go to Oklahoma City, land. We get fuel. I think that takes about an hour and a half on the ground. We get a text while we're there that our flight from Dallas to Lubbock had been canceled. This is Tuesday night. We got a family thing with the Bradleys on Friday, Wednesday morning. We've got to be home no matter what. I'm booking a rental car in Oklahoma City. I'm booking a rental car in Dallas, and in case nothing else happens, we're driving home, right? And so anyway, we get to Dallas, and praise God, there was a late flight that was delayed, and so we got to get on it. So we got home about midnight on Tuesday night. Y'all, God worked all that. If Andy would have been in charge, it would have been a lot different than that. But y'all, we're not in charge. And so instead of trying to force what you define as goodness to happen, surrender yourself to he who is good and let him work all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Okay, final essential truth is that our never-changing God created his universe with purpose. And that purpose is relationship. Go back one more time, verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. I I love, I don't know if you guys have this on your computer. It's Microsoft has all these, I guess, these screen lock picks that they put up. You know, when you leave your computer on too long, you come back in and you have these. And I love all these screen picks. And we could just show a few of these. So that's pretty, right? Next one, that one I really like. That one I really like. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So y'all, here's the deal. God created all that there is, all the beauty and majesty, you know, Rocky Mountains, great deserts, the Grand Canyon, you know, the mighty Himalayas. God created all that beautiful creation, and it's good and beautiful. His creation, though, it's not just about Him making all of that stuff, it's about Him making you and me. It's about Him making us in that creation. And it's all about Him having you and Him having me as His sons, as His daughters, about having you and me, not just in the creation, but in relationship with Him. To be created in His image is to be created for relationship with Him. Just as the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in this harmonious and perfect and eternal union with each other, so we too are created to be in relationship with God. We're created in, it's a plural actually. God created us in His image, and it's a plural. We create God. Let us create God. When theologians study and write about the eternal relationship and unity of the Holy Trinity, they often use a Greek word, perichoresis, which is a dance of joy and belonging and of deep love of eternal proportions. But the great thing is that God, you know, He's not just in this dance. He created us to dance with Him. He created us and invites us to belong to Him. We were created to be filled with His very presence. Y'all, this morning, we all got that God-shaped vacuum. Put whatever you want in there. You know, kids can put popularity. Parents can put money. I don't know. Retired people can put doing all the stuff they do, you know, that's just for them. But y'all, this void can only be filled by God and God alone. Y'all see the picture up there. On Christmas Eve, 1968, the three astronauts of Apollo 8 circled the dark side of the moon and headed for home. Any of y'all alive in 1968? Okay, there's 5 or 10 hands. Okay, all right. Anyway, suddenly over the horizon of the moon, these astronauts saw what very few had ever seen before. They saw not a sunrise, not a moonrise. They saw an Earthrise. They watched, and we watched with them as a blue and white earth, garlanded by the glistening light of the sun, rose up against the black void of space. And those sophisticated men, trained in science and technology, they did not utter Einstein's name. They did not quote the popular songwriters or poets of the day. And by the way, remember 1968, in the midst of all the divisiveness and hatred and war that was going on planet Earth, only one thing could capture the inspiring thrill of this magnificent observations. And billions of us heard Frank Borman, Bill Anders, and Jim Lovell take turns reading, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness He called night." And that was just the very first day. Y'all, God didn't make this earth, this universe, as some mere painting on His cosmological canvas for Him to just kind of sit back and, you know, get Him a Corona and a cigar and just watch it all happen. He created all that He created so that He could be in relationship with you. Can you imagine all of that for you? This morning, our never-changing God, He's still the same. He's still creating and recreating. God is still speaking if we would just listen. And God is still good. I know he's got such a bad rap in so many places, y'all, but he's good. He's really, really good if you'll let him be. And God, the creator of everything out of nothing, that God is seeking you. Seeking a relationship with you. Where he won't just be Lord of all creation, but he will be Lord and Master of you. Lord, Master, Protector of you. Lord, Master, Protector, Deliverer of you. Lord, Savior, Lover of you. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you so much that you, Jesus, are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The same mighty, awesome God that created the universe waits to encounter us and create and recreate our lives for his glory. Lord, there are students here, high school students, junior high students, middle school students, parents, grandparents. Lord, we're kind of ready for you to do what you want to do. We kind of tried it our way, not really working so well. So come, Lord, master and designer of the universe, come and be the master and designer of us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all, as we sing our closing song, just pray where you are. Come and pray at the altar. But just, again, surrender. Don't try to do it. Don't try to be the good. Let God be your good. And as his goodness fills you, Lord, come and use us. As his goodness fills you, he will use you to bring his good to this world. In Jesus' name. Let's stand and sing.
Underneath
we thank you, we praise you just for you being with us today. We thank you and praise you that as we leave here today, you're going with us and we're going with you, Jesus. And Lord, you are by our side. I mean, we don't need Guido and Benny to be with us. We need you, Jesus. We don't need bodyguards. We've got you. You will protect us. You will provide for us. And you will purpose us in this world in which we live. God, thank you again for our children, for our teachers. Let something great happen. Now, we've seen all the destruction and evil that Satan can bring. God, here in this city, in all the different school districts, Friendship and Cooper and Lubbock and Southcrest and Trinity. God, in all the school districts. God, bring your purpose, bring your presence, and may a revival and awakening happen in this land that touches this whole world before it's all said and done. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. We are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank y'all for being here today.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.